Your Locked On Stars, your daily podcast on the Dallas Stars. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we're back here for another day at the Locked On Stars podcast. Happy Tuesday to all of you out there listening. Hope you're doing well and hope you're staying safe and healthy. I'm Josh Clark, the Dallas correspondent at NHL.com. Joined as always by my co-host, Kenneth Nash, and our special guest back for more, back for another day, Jeff Totes, senior producer at the Dallas Stars. Totes, I cannot believe you actually stuck around.
What's up, boys? More A&M football talk?
Let's do it. Going for that second seed in the SEC West. Let's do it. But hey, you know what? We can talk A&M football. We can talk video games. We can talk food. We can talk about just about anything you want. It's the off season. You know, there's not a whole lot of hockey to talk about right now. So let's make the most of it.
What's up? Are we ready? Are you on a question for me?
The first question? I'm going to let you take the first question.
I'm used to Josh just kind of running the show for the first few minutes. So,
no. I'm. It's a new me. New year, new me.
It's not a new year, but all right.
Time's a flat circle this year. All right.
So I guess before we really get into the star stuff, I know we do have some. We have some younger listeners that I know of, and I'm curious. If there's anybody that kind of wants to get into what you're doing or thinks they're interested in it, do you have any like tips or recommendations or anything like that to kind of like a jumping off point? Is it just kind of, hey, just start and just see if you like it and look for opportunities where they might pop up?
Yeah. As generic as it is, it's the key is just getting started. And it's such an exciting time right now for anybody, especially a young person who wants to get involved with production or photography or videography. Like, the barriers to entry in this industry have never been lower. And when you look at a decade ago, what it took to get a video camera and editing software and all that, and now what anybody's phone is capable of, it's such a time right now that everyone has access to that technology. And if you're interested in video or photo, it's not hard to get the tools to pull that off. So the key is just getting started. Start making stuff, spend years making terrible videos, taking photos, and just enjoy that process. And then eventually, hopefully it turns into something. But if you really enjoy just putting the work in, then it definitely will. So I guess that's the advice.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like in most jobs in sports, it seems as though it's sort of like you just got to find your way in. Once you get your foot in the door, it's like the opportunities are endless and the possibilities are endless. But just getting that foot in the door and having that determination to get in,
Yeah, that's so true. It's getting the foot in the door. And then once it's in, it's showing that you have a willingness to work and that when you're new, you're willing to do whatever is needed, not necessarily your dream job right off the bat. That's so valuable.
Yeah. And so Totes, I wanted to ask, you know, as we kind of shift the focus back to your Dallas Stars career, obviously pre-pandemic, I wanted to ask kind of, I know this is a pretty basic, typical question, but what is a typical day in the life of Totes like during the regular season pre-pandemic, just a typical, you know, game day or not, or even non-game day or both?
Oh man, that's one thing I love about this job. For me personally, like I hate having a 5-day or 7-day a week routine that's very predictable. And I love that there's really no consistency with this. It's a bit of embrace the chaos mentality, but off days, just, it depends what's going on, whether we're covering something with practice, whether there's a team event away from the rink that I'm shooting, whether we're doing an edit for Stars Insider. There's very little, or even podcasting with Rinky Dinking. It changes a lot what the non-game day schedule looks like. But then on the other hand, game days are really consistent with covering morning skate, having time off in the middle of the day, and then coming back to the rink to shoot the game. So there's very little like consistent days, but game days for the most part stay the same.
Yeah.
I'm curious, you talked about kind of like what's it like trying to build the relationships, I guess, with some of the people you work with in terms of employees of the Stars. But I'm curious, obviously, we've gotten to see kind of how the relationship you have with a lot of the players, and I guess that was probably heightened during the bubble. But what was it like going into kind of that role and trying to develop relationships with, obviously, the Stars, you know, in hockey in general? If you've got guys from all over the world and, you know, all different ages and backgrounds, and you're trying to build those relationships because, you know, that's so key to the stuff you're able to produce. What was it like kind of learning how to build those relationships? And then, you know, what was it just going into that kind of atmosphere?
Yeah, that's something that's obviously been really important for the role that I'm in. And it's taken years, honestly, to get to this point. The first year, so I guess that first year I was hired on, I was pretty much part-time just shooting stuff. The second year is when I started traveling, but I was working the TV truck doing replays. So I wasn't really around the team to the degree that I am now. And then that third year, I was just traveling, doing social media video, producing this open ice series and stuff like that. So that's when I was really kind of in the locker room 24/7 and began forging these relationships. And it just takes time. And it's really important to build the trust and show guys that you're not just there grabbing a quick video for Twitter or whatever. You're really conscientious about making them look good. You're putting it into a bigger edit, stuff like that. And once guys start seeing the work you're producing, I think you get a lot of that trust, but it did take time. And it did help that I'm the same age as them and we had conversations, and it was where we really got to a good point. And then obviously the bubble and that amount of time together in Edmonton was just so valuable for it. And it's definitely in a good place now.
Yeah. And if you need any further, I guess any further examples of that, make sure to go and follow Totes on Twitter at Totes1. Tweets a lot of really high quality GIFs. Obviously he'll retweet and tweet out all of the videos that he puts together for the Stars. You know, Totes, one of the, just a few off the top of my head that I think of are this past season, you know, the Joe Pavelski feature right before the season began about starting a new life in Dallas. A couple of these different features that are behind the scenes. And like you mentioned, a lot more personal than just being in the locker room. You're actually like getting to go with these guys and see what their lives are like. And I think that's such a cool element. That's what helps the Stars kind of stand out from the rest, because you don't really see that often, not just in hockey, but in pro sports as a whole.
Yeah, I agree for sure. That's definitely been a big part of my kind of what I've been trying to build in my role with the Stars, is bringing that content. Cause I always think about what I would want to see from a team that I'm a fan of. And it's a lot of it's the stories. And I mean, you know, working in the media with this team, we have a lot of really interesting characters and just cool guys on this team. And you don't always see that side of them. So that's something that's been a big priority of mine in this role, is bringing that to life and kind of bringing that to people.
Yeah. And also, Totes, if you follow Totes1 on Twitter, you might every once in a while, I texted him about this the other day, you might every once in a while get a high quality meme or post that pops into your timeline that says Jeff Totes liked. Like the other day, I've seen it a few times now, Totes, this amazing account called Gripping, I think it's Gripping Food with Force, right?
Gripping Food with Force, yes, on Twitter. Highly recommend.
I will see like a bottle of chocolate milk or like a taco or something, and just in someone's hand, and the next picture is them squeezing it. And it'll be like Jeff Totes liked, and it gives me the laugh for the day. It gets me through the day. And then also I forgot to mention, Totes, every once in a while, I'll see a high quality Seinfeld post too. Are you a big Seinfeld guy?
Yeah, that's hilarious. I'm a big Seinfeld fan.
Fantastic.
And I enjoy all Seinfeld memes, clips, reinventions, yes. Anything Twitter does with Seinfeld, I'm on.
Then you are welcome here. Freshman year, Kenneth and I had a 3x5 poster.
Whoa. Kenneth and I did.
Oh,
Kenneth,
yeah. Okay. Josh had it.
Josh had just it hanging over his bed, staring at me all the time. It was super creepy.
Hey, it's Cosmo. Leave him alone.
Nothing better. I love that.
See? Yeah. Well, Totes, real quick, I wanted to ask one more question before we get into kind of bubble life. I wanted to ask a more personal question, because obviously you travel with the team pretty frequently too. And if you follow Totes on Twitter, you're bound to see, you know, pictures of him on the road with the team, whether it's from, you know, a hotel window or in the mountains in British Columbia. Wanted to ask, what is your one, like your favorite city to visit with the team, not only from a personal standpoint, but from a production standpoint? And two, do you have any certain specific special memories from a trip over the past few years?
Oh man, there's so many. Getting to travel with the team has just been the coolest aspect of my job. That's a whole different flavor in terms of covering the team, and it's so much fun. In terms of favorite city, I have to go with Vancouver, British Columbia.
Okay.
It usually ends up, we play Calgary, Edmonton back to back. And then like the past couple of years, we've had 2 or 3 days in Vancouver, at least like 2 days. So like an off day, practice day, and then game day. And that city is amazing. And that entire just kind of Pacific Northwest atmosphere and the city itself, I'm a big fan of Vancouver. So that's definitely my number one. And it's always been fun hockey games. I feel like we've won there a lot the past couple of years.
A lot.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so no complaints. I always enjoy that trip for sure.
We hope you're enjoying part two of our interview with Jeff Totes of the Dallas Stars. Before we get to the rest of the interview, we want to talk to you about rockauto.com. There's an ever-increasing number of vehicle makes and models out there on the market. With all those vehicle makes and models, it's impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. You have to go through pointless, sometimes intimidating questioning, wait where the guy behind the counter orders the parts on his computer, choosing only the brand his warehouse happens to carry. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket, so you don't have to go through that. Rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specs, and prices you prefer. Those prices at rockauto.com, they're always reliably low, and they're the same whether you're a professional or a do-it-yourselfer. Why sometimes twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck, and while you're there, write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. And let's talk about Built Go. We've talked about Built Go before. If you've got a wall that you have to break through, maybe mental, maybe physical, some point during the day, I know for me it's in the early afternoon after lunch, you're starting to sit around, the office is getting a little bit cooler, and you're going, okay, we need to wrap this day up, but you still got a little bit to go, and you need to break through that wall. Look towards Built Go. These 1.5 ounce packages are easy to throw in a briefcase or in a golf bag if you need to power through the back nine. Built Go is an energy gel with collagen protein. It's fast absorbing, so it gets into my system fast. Plus, it's easy on the stomach. It's loaded with good stuff to ignite my work, beta-alanine, B3, honey, and a kick of caffeine. The collagen promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health, so this stuff literally makes you look better. And Built Go, the best workout gel on the market, has 3 delicious flavors: peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. Right now, our listeners can go to builtgo.com, use promo code LOCKED, and get 20% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED for 20% off at builtgo.com.
All right. Well, I guess it's time to get to, I think, the topic that most of our listeners are going to hear about, and that is obviously the playoff bubble and that whole experience. Just kind of starting off, what was did you have any kind of expectations for what it was going to be like to be in the bubble? And did it kind of just, what was it like? I mean, obviously, I think even on the surface, it was easy to forget for us. And Josh and I, you know, we're obviously talking about the team every day, but even for us, it was sometimes easy to forget how long y'all were in that bubble. So what was it like being there? Did you have any ideas of what it would be like? And then over time, did it just kind of become like a new normal, I guess?
Yeah. So that's what's funny when you mention forgetting how long we were there. I'm in the process of editing this kind of documentary about it. So I'm going back and I'm watching my footage and press conferences from July 27th, 28th, 29th. Yeah. And it feels like so long ago. And it's funny because those first couple of days, all the stuff I'm shooting, like no one knew what to expect. There was no expectation. And the first couple of days, there's everybody finding their way around and figuring out where can we eat? Oh, we can get Uber Eats. We can get Amazon delivered. Like, how do we get to the practice rink? Stuff like that. And so it's funny to look back on that. And then 2 months later, just how settled in and comfortable. And like, that was kind of our new home after 66 days. So it's, yeah, there was no expectation going in. It was all new, but it was so fun to kind of get settled in. And it was so fun to see it, literally see the playoff race thin around us in terms of getting settled in with 21 or with 12 other teams in July. And then come late September, it's just us and Tampa. So it was, that's kind of going to be the focus of the documentary, basically, is seeing our group come together while everything else kind of thins out. It was quite an experience.
Yeah. And going on your personal experience, obviously you were with the team pretty much all the time, and you were one of the, correct, like you said, it's been a long time. Correct me if I'm wrong. One of the 51 people in the travel group.
Yeah. Yeah. You seem got 51.
Yeah.
Number 51.
So, hey, hey, no, you were number one, Totes.
I was happy to be there.
Yes, exactly. And so from your personal standpoint, because obviously on game nights, you know, it was funny because literally every game I would always be looking in the corners of the glass, looking to see if I could spot you out there somewhere.
Right.
But in like in a typical game day, what was different about typical game day in the bubble as compared to in a typical game day, and like at the AAC, besides the obvious, you know, with no fans or anything like that, what was different from your job standpoint?
Oh man, it was infinitely better that the bubble is set up for what I'm trying to do. Yeah. So in terms of covering a playoff run, and you know, I'm trying to get behind the scenes footage and tell the story of the team. I was in everything. There was no separation because normally, I guess in a normal year, there's sort of a media group, there's communications, there's like all the different team services groups that are kind of on the outside of it all. But here it was just 51 people, and that was it. That was our whole group. And that was in every meal, every meeting, everything. So I was in everything, just happened to have a camera with me. So it really helped what I was trying to do in terms of telling the team story and getting that footage. It was incredible, honestly. So game days were much different. I got to be in pregame meetings, postgame locker room, all of that. And I don't think that would have been the case necessarily outside of the bubble. And then from a logistics perspective, you know, normally in the playoffs, it's a hassle to get around arenas and shoot because of the fans and all that. Yeah. And so just from purely a getting to your spot to shoot and then get into the locker room and all that is as easy breezy as it comes because everything was so open.
I'm curious, you know, you talked about having kind of a different level of access. And so you were obviously you were around the team pretty much constantly.
Yeah.
What was kind of like the I guess the feeling or like the vibe? Because I know with regards to the team and how things were going and how deep they made it, because I know from the outside, it was kind of like there was almost an expectation, I know, on my end. And I know Josh and I kind of talked about it a little bit, waiting for, I guess, the bubble to burst from a performance standpoint. And but they just kept finding ways to win. And was there kind of this feeling amongst the players and the people around, you know, even other personnel that, hey, there's something special going on here?
Yeah, and not necessarily that it's something special. It's kind of a team mentality that I would say was present even before the stoppage and the pandemic and all that. This group was just really consistent in terms of knowing their cruising altitude, not getting too high after big wins or low after tough losses. Like this group was just inevitable in terms of the way that they put their heads down and went to work all the time. And that was something that stayed consistent throughout the run and was cool to witness because it just became more business as usual, the deeper they got. And you saw that with kind of the way that no score or adversity shook them in games. That was just kind of this team's MO. It was really cool to see.
Yeah. And you know, it's been, obviously it's been such a weird, we've talked about it extensively. It's been such a weird year for the Dallas Stars in general, you know, going back to literally, I think I saw on my time hop today, Totes, that 1 year ago today, the Stars lost that game in Pittsburgh to drop to 1-7-1 on the year. And right. So like, and a, yeah.
And then I think like day after tomorrow is 1 year from the tornado. And then, it's like, look, I was just actually thinking about this time last year, and it's pretty wild because that was a rough road trip that we were coming home from.
Yeah. Like the rough road trip, and, you know, and then obviously you get the win in Philly and it seems like, okay, maybe they can right the ship, but then that wild game comes along and for 38 minutes, it's like, oh, the season's over. You know, it's like, we're going into doomsday protocol here. But then to see everything that bounced back and then to see everything else that happened, I just wanted to, you know, take a brief break from bubble talk for a second here and ask about this season in general for you, not just from a content and, you know, production perspective, but just from a team employee perspective, because so much happened, not only on the ice, but off the ice and everything in between. You know, obviously head coaching change in December, Winter Classic in January, the winning streaks, the losing skids. It really was a season like no other.
Truly, truly. It's I'm kind of trying to quantify that in the last 5 minutes of this documentary, kind of a season retrospective, looking back, because guys noted that in their post-game press conferences after game six. You know, they're like, what a year. And
yeah,
guys in subsequent interviews in the past couple of weeks have noted that, yeah, I've never been a part of a hockey season like this. And so I'm kind of trying to put all that together in terms of just a quick run through all of it. But honestly, besides anything bubble related, the Winter Classic, even in a regular year, would be the thing that sticks out above all else. I'm sure you agree with that. That'll be kind of what I remember from this season, besides the bubble stuff.
Yeah, and Kenneth, before you get to your question, I remember seeing Totes and Cody Eastwood over at the first day over at the Cotton Bowl, I think it was, Totes, where they were first putting the ice out and the truck had arrived and all that. And I was talking to Cody and I was talking to one or two other of the production guys, and they were all like, oh yeah, we're not working. We're going to be in the crowd. This is a once in a lifetime chance. We're sitting in the crowd with the fans and all that. And then I said, well, who's working? And they're like, oh, Totes is. And I looked at Totes and I'm like, oh, that stinks. He said, no, I can't wait to work this thing.
Yeah, I didn't understand that. Everyone was like, wanted to make sure they weren't working and make sure they could just enjoy the day. And I was like, no, I want a press pass for this more than anything, and the chance to get that footage and be there. And so it definitely worked out for everyone involved.
Yeah.
Josh sent me like pictures and stuff like that during the prep for it and all of that. And it seemed like the spectacle of it all was just absolutely absurd. And like getting to see Fair Park and the Cotton Bowl get to like be converted, and having gone there as a kid, and you see all that as a kid, and then you see it transition in this giant, you know, the stuff for the Winter Classic. It was a lot of fun to watch.
And on top of that being a great hockey game.
Hockey, that was just what's wild is the game feels almost secondary just because of how big of a deal it was.
But
the game
was a cherry on top.
It was a phenomenal game. Yeah.
No, but it's true. Yeah. The spectacle was so amazing that you have to take a second to think, oh yeah. And then it was a great game. Besides all that, it was awesome. That day was incredible.
Incredible day.
I'm curious, going back to the bubble real quick, obviously, you know, Josh and I, and all the people that are going to listen to this had their own kind of quarantines and everything like that going through. But I obviously, none of us probably went through like the level of protocol and like strict, like day-to-day things you had to do and couldn't do and could do and all of that. I'm curious, what was all of that like? Obviously you were in the bubble. I know that there was I know Rick Bowness mentioned on a couple of occasions that, you know, there was days, there was like 2 or 3 day stretches where he wouldn't go outside because he would go straight from the hotel to the practice rink and back. So what was that kind of like, just all of those protocols, and did you get used to it, or did it feel kind of surreal at any point?
Yeah, well, I mean, starting right before with that training camp in Frisco, like I took it very seriously in terms of protocol for 2 weeks leading up to it, because I was like, I'm not going to be the one who tests positive and brings this thing down. So very, very cautious going into it. But then getting up there, it became just like a daily routine in terms of every day you had to go to these little kiosks and say you didn't have any symptoms, do a temperature check, and then you had to go get tested. and you had this app on your phone that would then turn green for 12 hours and you could go between buildings. It was all pretty wild, but I mean, after a couple of weeks, it became very just a routine part of the day in terms of testing and showing your app. So it wasn't really an issue, but I did, yeah. I think Bones said that right after the Calgary series finished, yeah. Talking about challenges of the bubble, and it was spot on. It was, I know those comments got a lot of feedback from people, but it was definitely challenging because the way it was so self-contained, literally being a hotel with a sky bridge to the arena, you could go multiple days easily staying inside the whole time. And if you wanted to get outside, it was just a concrete prison yard with some food trucks and a basketball hoop. So it was very little outdoors time. And I understand why that was wearing on some people. And you definitely saw the bubble fatigue set in with the team, you know, probably in that Colorado series. So it's there were definitely challenges to it. But for me personally, I was fine with kind of all the protocols and that lifestyle.
Yeah.
There's no issue.
Yeah. And Totes, in those 65 to 66 days, you obviously experienced a lot. You experienced, obviously the team experienced a lot on the ice running up to the Stanley Cup final, but right. You got to experience a lot with the team. Right. And I wanted to ask just if there are any, and I know you, just like the season, you may say there's a lot of them, but yeah. Are there any like special memories, like ones that 15 years down the road when you're like telling the story about spending 65, 66 days in this bubble, what is there any one story that's going to stand out more than the rest, whether it's like going to the football field or going to that arcade or any like one-on-one interactions with any players or coaching staff or anything like that? What's going to stick out to you most?
Yeah, there's not really a big moment like that. It was a lot of like the small daily interactions that really you kind of think about later as being like, wow, that's unreal. The moments that'll stick out are honestly the Vegas game 5 win and the Colorado game 7 win. Mm-hmm. Those are just such heightened emotion and being in the locker room post game for that and getting to kind of share that moment with everyone. And the added bonus of it being just these 51 people who are all working kind of towards this goal made it really special. So I'd say those are the two kind of nights that I'll definitely remember.
Yeah. And also Totes, before we end up signing off.
Yeah.
I wanted to congratulate you because right after game, I think it was right after game 2 of the Stanley Cup final, you were announced as a Lone Star Emmy winner. And that in and of itself, we have like media royalty on the podcast tonight.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. And so obviously you've got a Lone Star Emmy now. You've got 5 years under your belt, 6 years under your belt with this organization. And what a run. Like, what a run, right?
That's the thing. I've been telling people, like, it's going to be really tough to top this season. As crazy and turbulent as it is, like, this seems like about as good as it could get.
Yeah, I told Kenneth, I was like, we picked the perfect time. Maybe like 6 months post when we actually started this podcast, but I was like, we picked a really good time to build a following and build a brand and build a network of sorts, because there's nothing like this 2019-2020 season.
Yeah, no kidding. And I have to say, I really like what you guys are doing with this podcast. I guess my gripe with sports podcasts a lot of the time is that they're not timely and they're, you know, locked into a production schedule where they're a few days after. But it felt like you guys were putting out episodes during the playoffs, just, you know, like the next morning, a lot of times after games and stuff like that. So I think it's a great, great service to Stars fans.
Oh, well, we can't thank you enough. That is like, that's about as high of a compliment as we could ask for. And we may have to pick your brain this offseason about production tips, because we've had a few comments about our audio quality is not the best at times. So we may need to pick your brain on that, because we certainly trust you. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Say it.
What's up? Wait.
Oh, did you say haters gonna hate?
I was saying you guys got some haters.
Oh,
we do. But the haters gonna hate, right?
You got to tell them you're embracing the lo-fi aesthetic.
I like that. I like that. That's going to be our go-to. We're just going to put that in the drafts, Kenneth, on Twitter, and just be ready to send it out whenever somebody has a gripe about it.
Awesome. Awesome.
Well, Totes, we cannot thank you enough for coming on, sharing all the stories, talking everything from football, college football, to NFL football, to video games, to bubble, to hockey, to traveling, to everything in between.
Hey, for sure. Thank you, guys. And like I mentioned, I'm working on this documentary. It's going to come out the second week in November on Fox Sports Southwest. I'm sure it'll be put out on Star's Twitter and Fox Sports Southwest and all that. But definitely encourage everyone to check it out, because anything you wanted to know about the bubble or you feel like you missed out on, you'll definitely get to see in this. So I think it's going to be really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Make sure to check that out, the Open Ice feature. I'm sure we'll probably be promoting it on Twitter too, just in case you forget between now and then. But on the Fox Sports Southwest and on the Dallas Stars social feed, I'm sure there'll be plenty of promotion. I cannot wait to see it, Totes. I remember watching literally a year ago. I remember watching your Stars Insider to kick off this season. And that feels like 17 years ago at this point.
It does. It's such a long time ago.
Gosh, but anyways, what a thrilling ride it was. So happy to have you on to tell some stories. We'll have to have you back on here once A&M's 9-1 and going to either the playoffs or a New Year's Six Bowl or whatever the case may be.
Oh, I look forward to it. I can't wait.
Hey, unless BAS kicks in, and then we'll see what happens. But Totes, thank you so much again, and hope you have a great week. Hope you have a great rest of the month. Hope you continue to grind away on this Open Ice feature. We can't wait to see it here at the Locked On Stars podcast. And other than that, to all of our fans, all of our listeners, thank you once again for your continued support. Hope you're all doing well and staying safe. Kenneth and I will talk to you tomorrow.
Your Locked On Stars, your daily podcast on the Dallas Stars. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.